Baba, Akabo, Jambo, and hello, Bankless Africa.
It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Satsangwe, where we give you weekly updates on crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent. I am Miss Purple.
And I'm Neki.
Your favorite decentralized reporters for the week.
So we take a deep dive to see how the crypto markets are doing today. And this is a comparison from last week to this week. And Bitcoin has gone from $29,289.83, up from what it was last week at $29,524.42. Ethereum has gone from $1,750 last week to $1,665.91 as of this week. Solana has gone from $38.17 last week to $37.61. Optimism, $1.36 last week to $0.89. The Binance coin has gone from $297 last week to $289.1. And the bank token has gone from $0.198 to $0.0186.
And getting into our national currencies, we're going to start off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is sitting at 7.93 to the dollar compared to 7.8 last week Friday. The Nigerian naira is 415.13 naira to the dollar compared to 415.12 to the dollar last week. The Lesotho luti is at 15.86 to the dollar compared to 15.49 to the dollar from last week. The Kenyan shilling is 117.15 to the dollar compared to 116.85 last week. And last but not least, the Central African CFA franc is at 619.48 to the dollar compared to 610.93 from last week. Getting straight into our headlines from last week, venture funding for African crypto startups has grown by 11x in 2022 alone.
The African blockchain ecosystem has witnessed a skyrocketed increase in foreign investment in Q1 of 2022 as compared with the same quarter from 2021. Now, this is backed up by an exponential rise of over 11 times an inflow of foreign investment. This is very indicative of a rapidly growing interest in the African blockchain space based on speculated growth in the coming years. Now, more countries in Africa have received funding for blockchain startups compared with other ventures in the tech space, with Nigeria, Seychelles, Kenya, and South Africa topping the list amongst others. A key driver for the mass crypto adoption in Africa is the inadequacy of available financial infrastructure to meet the needs of the population, notably in countries like Nigeria. Massive growth is projected in the African blockchain space in the foreseeable future, due to the expected mass adoption of cryptocurrency for business, retail, and commerce. Now we move into the next headline, how fintech and crypto are boosting Africa's burgeoning tech scene.
Africa's attention and commitment to tech and Web3 is one that has accelerated rather quickly, which is surprising to many, but not surprising to those of us on the ground. The desire to learn and grow by individuals, coupled with the provisions made by fintech companies in terms of funding, have allowed for such kinds of flourishing. With some education and acceptance, of course, by the government, crypto adoption has been more seamless around African continents, with some going as far as launching initiatives in the form of central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. While I am not a big fan, as more funding is poured into fintech firms, we are sure to see more and more advancements and innovations in the area of digital transformation in Africa.
So our ever-increasing presence in the world of Web3 has caused Africa to come into limelight, and we're gradually beginning to get recognized by top organizations all over the world looking to broaden their Web3 reach and make crypto adoption a mainstay. Now, an example of such a top organization, Binance, is set to launch an awareness tour in this regard, claiming to have reached over 60,000 Nigerians in 2019. They are set to do more, with Nigeria, then Uganda, Ghana, and Cameroon coming up next on their schedule. They have set their sights on reaching the wider African sphere. Now, the tour is supposed to start on the 4th of June in 2022. That has already started. And the core concepts of Binance aims to focus this year include the metaverse, NFTs, that is non-fungible tokens, and the play-to-earn space, which is growing very rapidly. Now, this tour promises to be a really great one.
On to our next headline. The Bank of Ghana has begun piloting their e-city in Sefwi Asafo. The Ghanaian digital currency, which is tagged the e-city, has been recently launched by the Bank of Ghana. It is easily convertible to fiat on a one-to-one ratio and can be stored in a digital wallet. The focus to ease retail commerce activities. In an effort to test functionality and the ease of use and adoption of the e-city, the Bank of Ghana has only launched it in the small town of Sefwi Asafo, which is located in the western region of Ghana. Amongst other things, the e-city is primed to play a critical role in curbing fraud and money laundering and therefore improving the already existing financial infrastructure and bridging the technological gap and encouraging digitization. Our last headline from last week, the Central African Republic is set to tokenize the nation's natural resources.
Okay, so there is a popular project that is being championed by the Central African Republic called the Sango Project. And it's aimed at tokenizing the resources of the nation and making these resources easily accessible to investors and all parties interested in participating actively in the country's economy. The Central African Republic is democratizing their economy by tokenizing the country's abundant resources. A statement signed by the Minister of State and Cabinet Chief of Staff, Obed Namsio, read in part, "We are giving everyone access to the riches of our land. In other words, we are transforming them into equally valuable and important digital assets through an unprecedented new administrative and economic movement." So this is something we definitely should be looking forward to.
I think overall, the current state of crypto and Web3 in Africa, at least from last week's headlines, it seems quite promising. So I am looking forward to see what the different nations and the different countries are going to do in their respective, you know, selected departments. And I guess the rest will just... we'll just see from there.
Likewise.
Coming to this past week's headlines, Nigerians have the highest rate of optimism about Bitcoin's future, according to the latest surveys. Those were the summaries from the previous week, and we're going to move on now to this past week's headlines and news on the African continent. We're going to start off in Nigeria, where the citizens of Nigeria have the highest rate of optimism about Bitcoin's future, according to a survey that has been recently conducted.
So yes, following a survey conducted by Block, a Web3 platform, emerging countries have high hopes as regards the future of Bitcoin, with Nigeria leading the pack. India, Argentina, Vietnam, and South Africa also had over half of respondents saying they are optimistic. Now, deductions were made from the survey, and some of them being that more knowledge on the subject of cryptocurrencies brings about greater participation. Bitcoin has the greatest awareness from respondents, sitting at an astounding 88% of awareness, with 43% familiar with Ethereum. Now, high-income earners have greater hopes for Bitcoin and other digital assets than low-income earners. Now, another deduction we make from this survey is that people see promise in Bitcoin for a sustainable economy going forward into the future, and cybersecurity, price volatility are common reasons why most people do not buy Bitcoin. I think all of these are really valid concerns.
I also think, you know, they are right on the money, because something that people tend to forget is that you cannot get involved in the next revolution if you cannot afford to get involved in that next revolution. You know, we always talk about how crypto is going to change lives. Crypto is going to change everything in the world, and you need to get in now or you're going to miss out. We cannot expect that of everyone, because not everybody has the surplus cash to turn their wages into crypto, you know, because they need to live off of it. So I think it's very important for people to become aware of that and possibly maybe find more ways for people to get into the space. And I think this is, you know, this would be a perfect place for things like, wait, what's that thing called? UBIs. Yes, this is the perfect place for UBIs to become more widely accepted and widely used, because I think in that way, people can get involved without having to put too much of their living wages into the space.
Yeah, definitely. Ease of involvement is something that should be made very popular, because the easier it is for people to get involved, the more likely people are to participate in this new wave, which is crypto. Now, moving on to the next headline, Cello holds inaugural monthly happy hour event in Kampala, Uganda.
The Cello community has collaborated with Innovation Village, which is a premier tech launchpad and co-working space in Uganda, and they have collaborated to hold an inaugural blockchain happy hour. This event happened in Kampala, Uganda in May 2022. The aim of the event was to drive awareness about the Cello ecosystem, which is a mobile-first carbon-negative blockchain platform, as well as to foster a more connected and collaborative, prosperous blockchain community in Uganda. Blockchain Happy Hour is the first in a series of events to come. The next event is scheduled to hold on June 24th, 2022, with Cello looking to make this event series a mainstay on the calendar of the local blockchain community. Moving on to our next headline for this week, Africa remains the most expensive region to send money to, and this is according to a World Bank report.
According to the latest data by Remittance Prices Worldwide, RPW, a World Bank project that monitors remittance prices across all geographic regions of the world, Africa remains the most expensive region to send money to. Despite seeing a drop in the average cost of sending remittances from 8.2% in the fourth quarter of 2020 to 7.8% in the fourth quarter of 2021, we are still ways ahead when compared to regions like South Asia, the least expensive region with an average cost of 4.3%. Now, from the report, we see that in the fourth quarter of 2021, mobile money remains the least costly instrument to originate remittances and was also the least costly instrument to receive remittances. Now, moving on, the World Bank says poor transparency is to blame for high cost of remittances in developing nations.
I mean, I'm not too sure about that, but that is just my personal opinion. The World Bank has blamed the poor transparency for the high costs of remittances in developing countries. Remittances are transfers made from one person to another. When these transfers, either in form of cash or goods, are sent from migrants to support their families in their home countries, they are called workers or migrant remittances. The lack of transparency in the market has had the impact of reducing competition as consumers tend to continue patronizing traditional market players because they are not aware of and cannot compare services, fees, and speed of their existing remittance services against other products. Remittance recipients in developing countries could receive $16 billion more if the cost of sending remittances could be reduced by just 5 percentage points relative to the value sent. With this added income, remittance recipients are provided with more opportunities for consumption, savings, and investment in their local economies. Moving on to our next headline for this week, the National Bank of Ethiopia warns the public that the use of cryptocurrencies is illegal.
Now, Ethiopia's central bank moved to ban Bitcoin and other digital currencies as means of making payments within the country. This happened right after Octagon Networks, a cybersecurity firm based in Addis Ababa, converted all of its liquid assets to Bitcoin. The country, although acknowledging the growth of digital currencies, came to this decision on the premise that they could be used as a means of corruption and to launder money. Personally, I'm not sure this is very forward-thinking, but this decision did not go well with the citizens of Ethiopia, with one going as far as tweeting that not all users are in it for corruption. Situations such as these go to show that with all forms of innovations and investments put into blockchain technology, there is still a flicker of doubt in the minds of people. Now, I'm not very sure how valid this concerns of the Ethiopian government is. Crypto has more advantageous use cases than what they're considering, which is just from a standpoint of corruption and fraud. But I really hope they begin to see the bigger picture soon enough.
Why would you turn all your liquid into crypto?
It makes no sense because the value could actually go up or down.
I feel like at the end of the day, outside of the concerns of the government, you know, as a business, turning all your liquid assets into Bitcoin in this current climate when you need liquidity to be able to function, I am not too sure that that is wise, but what do I know?
Moving on to the next headline, the Bank of Uganda welcomes crypto businesses into its regulatory sandbox.
The Bank of Uganda, in an email to the chairman, Blockchain Association of Uganda, Mr. Andrew Kawere, accepted a proposal on sharing knowledge with their technical teams. This knowledge is based on crypto business models and whether some use cases are suitable for testing under the regulatory sandbox. The regulatory sandbox is a means by which new products and services are live tested in a controlled area. This framework sets the rules and requirements that allow innovative financial solutions to be tested in a live controlled environment. Capital and funding, learning opportunities for innovators as well as regulators, and the promotion of financial services innovation are a number of ways that this proposal could benefit from the sandbox. The next and last headline for this week is that people in developing countries find the metaverse more interesting compared to rich countries, according to a WEF survey.
I'm personally not very surprised by that. Now, with more than two-thirds of people from emerging countries anticipating this new era of digital technology, and lower than one-third in high-income countries, we see that people from emerging countries definitely find the metaverse to be more interesting. Now, the views of over 21,000 adults were taken into account, with younger adults, unsurprisingly, being the most familiar with new technology, the metaverse. From the survey, virtual learning, entertainment, and virtual work settings seem to be where most people expect the biggest changes brought about by the metaverse to emanate from. With more than two-thirds of people from emerging countries anticipating this new era of digital technology and lower than one-third in high-income countries, we see that people from emerging countries definitely find the metaverse to be more interesting. The views of over 21,000 adults were taken into account, with younger adults unsurprisingly being the most familiar with this new technology, case in point, the metaverse. From the survey, virtual learning, entertainment, and virtual work settings seem to be where most people expect the biggest changes brought about by the metaverse to emanate from. What's your take on this, Ms. Purple?
Look, I feel like the rest of the world tends to forget that we did not grow up with the Oculus. We can't afford the Oculus. You know what I mean? And that's just an example of an immersive kind of setting similar to the metaverse. So the metaverse in how it's being built right now, or multiple metaverses, I guess, they're giving us hope, us, you know, lesser, more developing countries of the world. They're giving us hope in that we can get involved and it doesn't have to cost you a whole bunch of dollars to be able to participate in it. You know, I mean, it may be a few dollars here and there, but it's definitely going to cost a lot less. And it could change so much for us. You know, it could give us access to so many things. So I'm not surprised, honestly. I'm genuinely not surprised. It's a different form of entertainment, a different form of learning that we have not been able to experience. For the rest of the world, I guess it seems a lot less appealing maybe in some ways, because it's like, yeah, we've been doing that. It's the same thing. It's just now it's on the blockchain. We haven't done that. You know, a lot of us on this side of the world, we haven't even done it, even in its Web 2 phase. So for us to be able to go from nothing to 100 to the metaverse and blockchain, it's amazing for a lot of people. So I'm very excited as an individual myself. I'm also very excited about the metaverse and what it could mean for us and for multiple businesses. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, really.
Oh, likewise. In accordance with this headline, you know, it's a very popular trend to see the metaverse being popular in many frontier markets. The Philippines, for instance, is one of the leading markets for play-to-earn games. I think that's where we have Axie Infinity from. And, you know, it's gradually even becoming very popular in Africa, the whole concept of the metaverse and play to earn and things like that. So I personally believe that developing countries might actually begin to dominate this space, the space of the metaverse, because we seem to be taking it, in quote, a bit more seriously than countries in the first world.
Of course we are. I mean, can you imagine? We haven't gotten access to a whole bunch of these revolutions in the past 200 years. From the Industrial Revolution, yo, we've been left behind. And now this is our chance to get in? Are you kidding me? Of course we're going to be in, you know? And I mean, for us, it's more about changing entire lives than it is just about getting rich. I mean, the getting rich part is a definite bonus. Nobody would say no to that. you know, like how a solution like mobile money and what it did or what it has done so far for remittances and what crypto could potentially do to the cost of sending remittances, that is mind-blowing. And of course, if you live elsewhere, if you live in the more developed countries, you probably don't need to send remittances home because home is probably exactly where you're living. Most people on that side of the world, they don't move countries. You know, if you move countries, you just move to another developed country. And most times your family tends to be well off, so you don't need to send them extra cash. But if you live on this side of the world, you depend on everybody who's ever left the continent and gone elsewhere to send you, you know, some remittances. And I think with crypto, with the minimal charges that one can incur, regardless of location, that is phenomenal. So of course we're going to be in it because for us, it's more than just, you know, like I said, getting rich. It's about literally changing lives and changing the entire economic ecosystem of the entire continent as a whole. So I'm looking forward to all of the developments that are going to come with the next few years and the next developments that are coming. So I urge every single person out there who's building or learning, keep going, you know, keep going. We're definitely going to find a place for you. We need you. We need every single one of you to keep innovating, to keep growing, and to keep showing us the way forward. You know, we're just here to deliver the news to you. And if you out there are building something and you would like us to share it with the community, feel free to send it to us either via our email or our Twitter channels, and we will be sure to address it accordingly. Just a reminder, though, that none of what we share here is financial advice, only opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. And of course, don't forget to share, subscribe, and leave a rating on whatever platform it is you're listening from. We are, after all, our own wildest dreams, the hope of our own tomorrow. So until next time, keep innovating.